According to Greek mythology, Atlas is the god who holds up the heavens. The way the legend goes is that Atlas was a Titan, and he joined with the other Titans and fought with the Olympians, and they lost, and Zeus was the king of the Olympians, and so he sentenced Atlas to stand on the corner of the earth and hold the earth up, in addition to the earth, all the atmosphere, the sky, the heavens, basically all of it, up on his shoulders. Now, we know that's just a myth, and that's not really true, but that image has become a pretty popular cultural image. In fact, as you see here on the screen, this is a picture of Atlas holding up the earth. This is out in front of Rockefeller Center in New York. And I'll show you that image because I think sometimes that's the way we feel life is like. You ever feel like you're Atlas and you're holding up the whole earth, it seems like, on your shoulders? You're carrying a lot of burdens. Maybe it's burdens of someone else, or maybe it's your own burdens. And you feel like you're the only one who can handle it. You're the only one who is responsible. You're the only one that people can rely on, and you're holding it all up on your shoulders. If that picture doesn't connect with you, maybe the next one will. When I was at Harding, there was a juggler that came to perform at the school, and he did a number of numbers. He juggled bowling pins and knives and fire and all this kind of stuff. But one thing that he did was he had these little pins, and he would take plates and he would spin them on the pin. And he started with one, and then he went to two, and then three, and four, and five, until he had, I don't know, six or eight all going at the same time. And he had to work really hard at keeping all the plates spinning, going back and forth from one to the other, because if he doesn't keep the plate spinning, then it would fall off the stick or the pin. And maybe you've seen a feat performed like that before at some venue or some location. And sometimes that's the way our life feels like. That we've got all these different plates in our life, and we've got to keep them all spinning. We've got to keep our work spinning, and so we've got a job to maintain, and we've got a boss to please, and we've got a family to keep spinning, and so we've got to take care of our children and take care of the relationship with our spouse, and we've got to make sure our children are taken care of and well-fed and that they're going to all of their activities, and then we've got a spiritual life to maintain and making sure that we're reading our Bibles and praying and coming to church, and we've got all these plates, and we're trying to keep them all spinning. But there's so many things to do. It just seems like we're hopping from one plate to the other, trying to make sure one doesn't fall. Now, I want you to look at these two images because I imagine that we probably gravitate to one or the other. That there are some of us here and we feel like we are Atlas. And we walked into this assembly this morning and we almost feel like we've got so much on our shoulders with our family or with our friends or with our job, and it just feels like we're holding it all up. And we're weary of it. And then there's others of us that we've just got so many plates that we're trying to keep spinning that you're already thinking, okay, at 12 o'clock we're going to go here, and at 1 o'clock we're going to do this, and 2 o'clock we're going to do this, and you've already got the day schedule. And I show you these two pictures because if you connect with any one of them, then you're going to have a hard time with the fourth commandment. At Mount Sinai, God delivers the Ten Commandments. And the fourth word that he gives is about Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is to be a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor even the sojourner who lives among you. For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And there's a bee or fly flying around me. Do y'all see it? But he rested on the seventh day. And God blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Now, this command is a little bit difficult to understand how it applies to us. And so let me just kind of lay a framework as we get started. Then in the Old Testament, the Israelites kept Saturday as the Sabbath day, the day in which they would do no work at all. But when you go to the New Testament, We see that the Christians, the early church, they really didn't bind the Sabbath day on everyone. It wasn't a requirement that everyone keep Saturday as the Sabbath. Now, there are some people who think that maybe for the Christian, Sabbath is Sunday. Maybe you've thought that before, but if you go to the New Testament and you look at the early church, we really don't see that connection in Scripture. In fact, that was an idea that came later on in church history, that probably most of the early Christians worked on Sunday, and that's probably why they had their assemblies later on in the evening. And so how does this command apply to us? If we don't keep Saturday as a Sabbath, if we don't keep Sunday as a Sabbath, how does it apply to us? And I think this is the way it does, that inherent within this command, there is a principle. And that principle is that we are to live in a rhythm, that our life should be characterized with work and rest, work and rest, work and rest. That is the rhythm that we are to live our life. Now, in order to live out that rhythm, there's two key components found in the command. First of all, there is this idea of remember. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This idea of memory. That the first step to keeping this command was we have to acknowledge and recognize that we need rest. That we were not made to be people to work all the time. We were not made to be people who went to the office every single day. We were not made to be people who checked our email and phones and dealt with clients all the time. That we need to remember the Sabbath day. On the other hand, there is a second component, and that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, when the Ten Commandments are repeated. This command, there is a change in wording. And instead of saying, remember the Sabbath day, it says, observe the Sabbath day. The second component is that we actually have to observe it. We actually have to engage in Sabbath, in rest. That we have to have a day, a regular day, where we stop work and we say, I'm not going to work today, but instead I am going to rest. So on the one hand, the first step is just learning to rest, learning that you need rest, being able to say, I need rest. But the second step is actually learning how to rest. Learning how to stop work and actually spend a day resting well. Now, what's interesting about this command, about remembering and observing the Sabbath, is that throughout history, the people of God have really struggled with this. You would think this is simple. I mean, it's talking about rest. I mean, we should all get excited that God actually said, I want you to rest. But the people of God consistently struggle. Let me give you some examples. Numbers 15. It's this story about this man. We don't know who the man is. It doesn't tell us his name. But on Sabbath, he goes out and he gathers wood. I don't know why he was gathering wood. Maybe to make a fire. Maybe because he was wanting to carve something. Maybe he was wanting to make something. I don't know. But he goes out and gathers wood, and that was a no-no. You weren't supposed to do that on Sabbath day. And so the people find out about it. They take him to the leaders, and he is stoned because he broke the Sabbath command. Now, you know that that story had to live on in the history of Israel, and whenever someone left their house at Sabbath day, they said, hey, you better not be gathering wood out there, because you know what happens. But they struggled to keep it. You move ahead in the Old Testament, and you have prophets like Jeremiah and Amos who get on to the people of Israel, and they get on to the people of Israel for several things, for idolatry, for not taking care of the poor, but they also get onto them because they're breaking the Sabbath day. And they have to call them back to what God said at Mount Sinai and say, listen, you're supposed to remember and observe the Sabbath. And a great example of what was going on possibly at that time is found in Nehemiah 13, which is a story about Nehemiah, who was a leader of the people of Israel, who led them back to the land after exile. And he sees the people and they're breaking Sabbath. And what they're doing is they're conducting business. They're loading and unloading goods. They're moving merchandise. They're checking inventory. They're doing all kinds of work. And Nehemiah has to say, hang on a second, guys. It's the Sabbath. We're supposed to be resting, not working. You're profaning the Sabbath of the Lord. Then you move to the New Testament. And consistently, Jesus has this conflict with the Pharisees over the Sabbath day. That the Pharisees have made Sabbath into this day of rules and regulations and traditions. And Jesus has to remind them that man wasn't made for Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. Sabbath was not meant to be a burden on us. It was meant to be a gift to us from God. But the Pharisees didn't get that. And then we move to today. I've had several people speak to me before this sermon saying, you know, I'm kind of worried about this Sabbath sermon because they know that their life is just work, 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 go, 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 and they have no time for rest. And why is that the case? Why do we struggle with Sabbath? Why is it hard for us just to stop and say, you know what, today is going to be a day of rest. I'm not going to do any work. I'm just going to reflect on God and who I am in His eyes. Why is that hard? Why has God's people consistently struggled with that? I mean, this is kind of a turn back to kindergarten, right? Remember in kindergarten, you know, you have half the day where you do work, and then you have a time where the teacher says, everyone lie down, you're going to rest. That seemed like a good time of the year or a good time of life, right? Why is it hard for us to do that as adults? And I've thought of a couple reasons. I think one is greed. One day is a day I can be making a sale. It's a day I could be meeting with a client. It's a day I could be earning a little extra income. And in a globalized economy, you just can't take a day off these days. You got to be on it 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can't be taking time off if you want to compete. And so to keep up economically, we keep working every day. For others of us, it's guilt. Somewhere down the road, we've gotten the idea that we are very, very important. And there's a lot of people who are counting on us. And so if we take a day off, there's going to be patients that need to be treated. And there's going to be clients who need their case worked on. And there's going to be people that need to be helped. And if we take a day off, then they're going to suffer as a result. And we feel guilt about that because we feel like we're the ones who can truly help them. And so we need to be working to help them all the time. For others of us, it's fear. We're afraid of who we are. Ashamed of who we are, maybe. And we know that if we stop work and we be still just for a little while, that we'll have to reflect on who we are. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to reflect on who we are. We don't want to reflect on our family because we know we've got issues. And it's just a lot easier, instead of dealing with those issues, to just stay busy. Just stay busy. Satan is so good at using busyness as a diversion for us focusing on the main thing. Great example of this is Mary and Martha. Here you have Jesus, and he's sitting at the very living room of Martha, and yet she is completely oblivious that the Son of God is here teaching because what? She's busy. And so many times in our life, we just allow busyness to fill our lives and neglect of really seeing who we are and reflecting of who we are. And if you look at these three reasons, greed, guilt, and fear, I think at the very root of all of them is the same thing. A focus on self and trying to control. Selfishness, self-absorption, and then trying to control your life and control your surroundings and control your environment. Think about it, greed. Greed is all about getting, gaining more and more money for yourself. So you can be happy, so that you can be comfortable, so that you can have the things that you want. And so you work extra long all the time so that you can have those extra things because it's all about you. You try to control your time so that you can eke out as many dollars as you can. Guilt. We become consumed about how other people look at us and we think that we are indispensable. We're the most important person at our work or in our family or in our class or whatever it is. We're the most important person. And so if we're not there, then people are going to be offended by that. They're going to be let down by that. And we think that we're kind of like the Messiah. And we can control the problems of this world or the problems that we're dealing with. Or fear. Being ashamed of who we are. Afraid to even think about who we are because we're not exactly sure what we're going to find. And so we try to control other people, and we try to control what we're doing in our life so we don't have to think about who we are and who we are in God's eyes. Now, if that's the case, if we struggle with selfishness and trying to be in control, you're going to have a hard time with Sabbath. Because the idea of Sabbath and rest can only come about if you are willing to believe that the Father is in control. That God rules the world, as we just sang. And the world's going to continue whether I'm at the office or not. And my children are still going to be blessed by God, whether I make them make to all the soccer practices and all the camps and all the things that I have on the schedule or not. It's going to be okay. And that money is not the most important thing. And if I miss the sale on the day, or if I miss the client on that day, it's okay, because God is going to provide for my family, because He's in control, not me. He rules the world, not me. And so for me to take a break and to say, today I'm putting work aside and I'm going to rest, it requires us to be able to say, God's in control. And where I find my identity is not in what I do. What makes me me is not the fact that I'm really good at the office. What makes me me is not the fact that I can make a lot of great sales, or I can meet a lot of different clients, or I can do all these great things. What makes me me is that I was created by God. And my identity is in who I am in God's eyes. And when I understand that, I can stop and I can rest. Because I'm not concerned about what others think about me primarily. I'm concerned about what God thinks of me. And God said to rest. I appreciate Dan and Kathy and so many others who work in our Hope Ministry. It's a wonderful ministry. And they do a number of things to help people who are struggling in addiction. They have different group meetings. They have some on Sunday morning and on Wednesday evening. They've added group meetings on Monday and also on Friday evenings. But one thing they do is that once a month, they gather together for fellowship. They don't have a meeting. They don't work on trying to find a job. They don't work on trying to find an apartment. They just have fellowship, and they eat together. And I think that's very important. That we need times in our life, not when we're figuring out what's the next thing on the agenda, not when we're trying to figure out, okay, what's the next thing I got to cross off, but when we are just having fellowship. And we're spending time with others, spending time alone, spending time exercising out in creation to where we can just simply let God recreate who we are and remind us, you're not in control of this world. And it's okay if you're not involved at work today. Just spend some time with me. Let me remind you of who you are. We need that time. We need Sabbath. So we're going to take that time right now. We're just going to take a moment in our worship service to have some time of stillness and quiet. John's going to lead us in a couple songs that talk about the importance of being still before God. I'm going to read a psalm that I think speaks to God and how He looks at us. And then one of our elders, Alan Heggie, is going to come. He's going to lead us in prayer. He's going to ask God that He would help us to integrate Sabbath into our life. Let's have a moment of stillness and quiet before the Lord. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Please join me in prayer. Our Holy Father, as we gather here today and in this quiet moment, we come before you with our confession. Dear God, we know that you know us better than we know ourselves, that you know what we need better than we ourselves know, that we believe that we're in control, we strive to be in control, we're frustrated when we're not in control. But we confess, dear Lord, that we forget that you are in control. And we pray, dear Lord, and we praise you for being in control of this world. And knowing that it does not depend on us and our strength, but that you lift us up and that you give us strength through your power and through your spirit, but also through renewal and rest, just as you've commanded us. Help us to remember that and to observe it. We confess, dear Lord, that we are too busy talking and not listening, that we're too busy doing and not learning at your feet, that we're too busy focusing on ourselves and not glorifying you, that we're too busy trying to have it all and we're losing our souls. We need your rest. We need your renewal. We need your quiet and your Sabbath. Dear Lord, help us to experience the blessing of rest and renewal that only you can provide to us, your children. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for adopting us as your children, for loving us, for watching over us, for supporting us, and for wanting us to be with you. Help us, dear Lord, in turn to be a blessing to others, to use this time of rest and renewal and reflection to share that, to be full of the strength that you provide, to tell others of the great good news, to share the peace that passes understanding from being your children. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
In the 1860s, America was embroiled in civil war, and one of the key issues was slavery. Abraham Lincoln, the president, did a bold thing when he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which proclaimed that all slaves were free. It took a while for that proclamation to get all the way to the South, partially because of communication issues, partially because a lot of the South had seceded from the Union. But in 1865, finally the proclamation came to Texas. And the way the story goes, according to the legend, is that the Union general was in Galveston, and from a balcony there in Galveston on June 19th, he read for the very first time in Texas the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring all slaves to be free in this state. And the slaves heard it, and immediately they jumped for joy and started celebrating in the streets because they knew now they didn't have to go back to work for their masters. And that day has become a pretty important historical marker. We refer to it as Juneteenth. In the African-American community, it's celebrated on a regular basis. Here are some pictures on the screen of some celebrations going on where they celebrate that in this state, the slaves were set free on June 19th, 1865. In Deuteronomy 5, I mentioned that there is a difference in wording, that there it says observe the Sabbath day instead of remember the Sabbath day, but there's another difference. That there, instead of rooting the Sabbath command in creation, it's rooted in redemption. That we are to observe the Sabbath day because Israel once was slaves. They were slaves in Egypt, and now they're free. And because of that redemption, we're to live in this rhythm of work and rest. And I think that shows us what Sabbath is all about. It's a day, as Alan prayed, of reflection, to remember of who we are and that we are free. That we're not slaves to sin any longer. We don't have to run after what the pagans run after. We don't have to be burdened with guilt over the things that we can't do. We don't have to be paralyzed by fear because we're ashamed of who we are. We're free by the blood of Jesus. And Sabbath is our day to celebrate and to share joy, and to rest, and to know that God loves us, and He has made us our child. And so if Sabbath is a problem for you, it's not a scheduling problem. It's an identity problem. It's not a scheduling problem. It's an identity problem. That somewhere down in our heart, we're not at ease with the idea that we're not in control and that God is in control. And we're not willing to surrender to Him and say, you know what? I'm going to take a break. And I know that there are some of us here that that is convicting. Because I know some of your lives. And I know that you are on the go all the time. And the idea of rest is so foreign to your family. And I would encourage you this morning to repent of that. Because that's not what God desires for his children. And we're going to have shepherds surround this auditorium. And I want to encourage you just to walk to one of them and say, he was talking to me. And I haven't been living that rhythm of work and rest. And I want to repent of that. I encourage you to do that. To make a confession. To make a move. To live into what God wants you to live. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian, to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ and to experience the freedom of being redeemed by Jesus. We'd love to help you do that. And during this song, just come to the front. Any way we can help you, please come as together we stand and sing.